You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God, which you're about to receive.
Turn with me. Well, I don't know where we're going to go with this. I've got several scriptures, and I got more than I'm going to be able to minister tonight, which is, you know, hey, what's new? But I've got this on my heart to share with you, and I'm just going to have a fireside chat with you. Turn to Proverbs. Oh, we'll start in Proverbs 27. That'd be a good place to start. Hallelujah. Glory. I'm not Phil Driscoll. I'm not going to sing for you. I got tickled. Ron said something to Brenda after the service. Ron Brown did. Said, I leaned over to Betty Jo and I said, Betty Jo, close your eyes and just think about Ray Charles. Because he's got that raspy voice. I exalt thee. Proverbs 27. You're going to love this. That's my confession. I'm sticking to it. Proverbs 27. I want to talk about how we need each other, really, if you want to know the truth. I don't know what we'll title this, but we'll come up with something. We need each other. We are not called to be alone. Now, that's not just marital. Maritally speaking, that's also friendship, that's fellowship, that's church. You know, a lot of people say, well, I'm just, you know, we're just called to believe. I understand that. There's no way to heaven except by faith in Christ Jesus. Our belief and our trust and our faith in Jesus is what saves us. But more than just called to believe, we're called, I heard it said this way, we're called to belong. You know, we're called to church. We're called to fellowship. We're called to hook up with each other. Amen. You will never be what you can be without each other. If we are uniquely gifted, we're also deficient by design. There's not a one of you out here who's got all the gifts that all of us together have. Not a one of you. But that means that we need each other because you have something I don't have, I have something you don't have, and all of us together make it happen. So far from competing with each other, we actually complete each other. Isn't that correct? Isn't that good? You know, I think about also at a funeral. I say this often at a funeral. And it's the truth. And you can think of people that you know that have gone on to be with the Lord or have passed on in your life, that have made an impact in your life, that are part of your life growing up, whether it was a husband or a wife, brother, sister, father, mother, friend, son, daughter, God forbid, that could happen, you know, in your life, some loss in some sense. And you hear this a lot at funerals. I say this a lot at funerals, and it's the truth. If I know the person that has passed away and I happen to be ministering or speaking at the funeral, I'll say something along these lines generally. I'm a better person because of this person. Amen? Amen? And that's always the truth because I picked up something from that person. I've been honed a little, sharpened a little, challenged a little. Maybe got a little envious about something that they could do I couldn't do or they were better at something in a good sense. I mean, they were more patient than I was. It challenged me to be more patient. They seemed to be a little more loving than, or whatever the case may be. It wasn't just me helping them. They helped me. Amen. They completed me. See, in ministry, especially in church and family and friendships and relationships, we actually complete each other. We actually remain incomplete as long as we separate ourselves from everybody. We really do. I mean, if you say, well, I believe in Jesus. I pray. I talk to people like this. Where do you go? Well, I don't really go to church anywhere. Oh, you don't want to go to church anywhere. Do you have any Bible studies? Well, no, but I believe in Jesus, and I pray more than you think I do. Well, I'm sure you do. You probably need to pray more than most of us if you're by yourself. And you don't have any friends. You don't go to church. You are missing out on fulfilling your destiny. You're missing out on becoming whole and becoming complete because God made us in such a way that we're not just to believe, we're also to belong. We belong together. Amen. Man, I tell you what, I'm a better person because of you. I'm a better person because of church. I'm a better person because of my family, because of my relationships. And really, that's what church is about. I mean, of course, it's about Jesus. We know that. That's a given. But connecting in a church, becoming relationship conscious in a church, that's what really grabs us and gets us. People come through the church all the time. You know, most people come to church because of the pastor. They'll come. But people stay because of relationships. Now, they'll hear about a good preacher or a good service or maybe the worship or something. That may get them here. In fact, most surveys you take about churches, people come to church because they come now. They come because of the pastor. They don't stay because of the pastor. They stay because they connected with somebody. They stay because they got in a group. They felt a part. Someone said hello. Someone smiled. Someone accepted them. It's the same old story. We all need it. We all need acceptance, love, forgiveness. Amen. We need a part, a place, and so on. Why is that? We're wired that way. That's the way God wired us. We need each other. We are not lone rangers. Hallelujah. Thank God. Amen. So this verse, and I do have one. In Proverbs 27, we'll start there, 17th verse. As iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. Wow, I love that. Isn't that good? You know, and really, what if you think about the analogy there, it takes iron to sharpen iron. I mean, you don't sharpen your knife with a piece of wood, do you? You got to get something pretty hard to sharpen a knife, a substance that's as hard as the knife, or harder, you know, in that sense. But it makes that knife better, makes that knife more useful as it's sharpened with a file or, you know, with a whetstone or something hard, something that will sharpen that knife. You can't just take something soft and do it. You got to have something of the same substance, as it were. But the knife, or the iron in this case, would be just absolutely useless after a while. It'd just get duller and duller and duller unless you finally sharpened it. Amen. Wouldn't it? And that's why we're such dull people sometimes. Because we hadn't been around anybody to get sharpened up yet, see? Hello. Been in our own little world, not hanging around people, don't have any friends, don't have church, don't have fellowship, as it were. And fellowship is more than just hanging out. You know, it's more than just having a good time. You know what it's about? It's about sharpening us. It's about making us better people. It's about making us more useful. Because a piece of iron that's sharp is very useful. We cease to be useful when we cease to get around people. We were made for each other. You ever hear that term? Maybe in marriage, you'll say, oh, they were made for each other. Well, I'm here to tell you in a broader sense, you and I were made for each other. are you listening? See, I wasn't made for myself. And you weren't made for yourself. And you weren't made for yourself. We were made for each other. Amen. And until we find that place, until we get... And that's what church is about. Church is about connecting us. It's about getting us into our spot, in where, the place we're supposed to be. Why? Because this is what we're made for. Wow, man, I mean, when I get in church, I find out what life's all about. I find out what I'm all about. I find out why I'm here. This is my destiny. This is my purpose. To help others, to mature others. And you know what? In the same time, I'm getting helped and I'm getting matured. And I'm getting sharpened. And the countenance of a friend sharpens the countenance of a friend. Ooh, hallelujah. It's good stuff, amen. Church, a lot more goes on in church than you realize. A lot goes on, more goes on in the concept, the program, the purpose of the church, why God ordained it, see, than we often realize. You know, as John Donne, that old poet, that, you know, English poet cleric that said this, a famous quote, we hear it often at funerals. It was in his book called Meditations that he wrote this. It was just thoughts that he wrote down. And this, you'll recognize it right off the bat. No man is an island entire unto himself, but every man is a piece of the whole. And he likened mankind to the continent of Europe. He said, if one clod, and he wasn't calling you a clod, he said, if one clod of Europe were washed off into the sea, he said, Europe is the less. And he said, every man's death diminishes me, for I'm a part of mankind. Therefore, sin not for whom the bell tolls, for it tolls for thee. I love that. Isn't that good? It tolls. See, God's calling all of us into this sea of humanity. He's calling all of us to hook up, to get together, to join up for the cause of Christ, for something greater, for something bigger, for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are about empowering people with the good news of Jesus Christ. Why? So they can change their world. And you can change your world. And we together can change the world. We can do more together than we can apart. We were made for each other. I mean, what's a quarterback without a team? Who's he going to throw the ball to? How's he going to score any points? I mean, think about it. You can't get anywhere by yourself. A quarterback was made to not just be a quarterback, not to just throw a ball, but made to be a part of a team. So whatever it is, whatever gift you have, and we all are different, you are made to join a group, to be a part of a team. And that old saying, there's no I in team, you know. You can get me out of it if you mix up the letters. But, you know, you're messing with it. So you're messing with it if you get me out of team. Oh, come on now. You still with me here? Okay, I don't want to lose you here. As iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. Now, you just overlay that or extrapolate that or multiply that out into hundreds of people, not just two people, but several people getting together. All of a sudden now, we are starting to be completed, matured, become whole in church. There's a lot of broken people come to church. There's a lot of broken people outside of church. But, you know, people get in church and they get healed. And they get whole. They find their purpose. And they find life. Now, I'm talking about people that really throw in. Because people come to church and come and go and come and go. But I mean, if you come in there and you throw in and you got a passion for God and you really hook up with the people, you are going to become a better person. There's no question about it. I mean, God, that's what church is about. It is about not just leaving us where we are, but maturing us. And then getting us in the work of the ministry. To where we go out and shine our lights and we go out and help others because we were born to this. Amen. This is what we were born to do, is to change the world. God forbid to live our whole life, never reach our, never find our purpose, never find our destiny, never find our nick in life. See, you're not going to find that place by yourself. You're not going to find it out there away from everybody. You're going to find it with people. We were called to suffer and sign, die in humanity. Amen. And we were called as a body. Think about all we're doing as Will's Point, International Outreach Church. Think of all that we're, the world that we're reaching. Think of the impact we're making on our community and so on and so forth. Not a one of us could have done that. Not a one of us could take credit for it. Not a one of us could say, I did this. No, but you know what? We can say we did it. We did it with the power of God. We did it with the blessing of God. We did it God's way, because this is God's way. God's way is where He gets all the glory. I mean, you look at a car and, you know, it's running. It's not because of that great carburetor. It's not because of that great battery. But it wouldn't run without the battery. But it wouldn't run without the carburetor either. But what is it? It's all these parts working together. Amen. And that thing, that whole thing's called a car, you know. The church is not me. The church is us. Yeah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And you know what? Me has found my place in the church. Me has been completed. Ooh, I love that. I love that. You know, we don't compete. We complete. We are completing each other. We're not competing each other. You know, we complement each other. You often hear that term used. Well, that's just a form of complete. Complement. Complete. You know, in a marriage, oh, they just complement each other. Or in a business, they complement each other. Or in a church, the orchestra or the teaching team, the elders, whatever, they complement each other. Well, they complete each other. Wow, I love that. I want to be all I can be for God. How about you? Well, you're stuck with me then. I'm going to have to hang around you to do that. God bless you. We need each other. Okay, turn with me to Ecclesiastes 4. Ecclesiasticus. No, it's actually Ecclesiastes. I'm just trying to wake you up there. Ecclesiastes. God bless you again. Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, chapter 4, my Bible, page 902. Ecclesiastes 4, pretty close. Okay. Notice what it says here in the 8th verse. There is one alone without a second or without a companion. Now there again, don't always equate this just to marriage, because you know it may not be your the will of God in your life to be married. Some people are called to be single. That's fine. That's wonderful. Some people love being single. Some people love being married. But I think you can take scriptures on marriage and talk about partnership and still apply it over to friendship and church and so on and so forth. Are you with me? So when he says there is one alone without a companion, he's not necessarily saying marriage. In fact, he goes on and says he has neither son nor brother. Y'all see that? You could add to that friend. And there's a lot of lost souls out there, lonely souls out there that way. Sometimes we're that way. You know, one of the problems with the United States of America, God bless the United States of America, okay? Greatest country on the face of the earth. I thank God for our country. Thank God, you know, for this place that I was born in, that I'm raised up in, that I'm preaching in, and I'm standing here preaching to you in the United States of America. We are blessed with all kinds of privileges. But having said that, doesn't mean it's perfect. And we can say some things not mean-spirited about it. I mean, because we're part of this country. I mean, we're Americans. You know, I can talk about mama. Don't you talk about my mama, you know. I think one of the problems with America is this, sometimes our rugged individualism, which made this country great in a lot of ways, and which is wonderful in some settings, is not real good to mature, to be complete in. Individualism has its place, but God wants you to be a part of something bigger than yourself. And it's almost a mystery, a paradox, when we talk about rugged individualism making this country great, and it did, but there was a purpose to the individualism. The ruggedness of it was hard work. The ruggedness was, integrity and character and making it happen and not complaining and not whining, but being responsible. But it was more than one person doing that. It was all of us together doing that. So it's almost a paradox to even say individualism, because although we were individually responsible and worked hard and did what we did, we pooled our resources and made this country what it is together. So the problem with that sometimes is we get to thinking we don't need anybody else. That's wrong. And we think we're being independent and we're just being naive. When we were kids, we wanted to be independent because we were so dependent on our parents and everybody else, and we couldn't wait to get independent. But see, you can't survive and you can't be a help or a blessing and never be complete or fulfilled if you're just independent and you're not working with everybody else. You realize when you grow up as a child that you have to work with people. You have neighbors, you have friends, you have husbands and wives, and there's more than just you. It's a big world out here, Charlie Brown. Or Bubba? Amen? So real maturity is not dependence. It's not independence. It's interdependence. It's when we know that we have a place and we know that we also need others to make it all happen. There's an error in the idea of individualism. See, it's the idea that we don't need anybody. That's wrong. It's wrong to even think that all I need is Jesus. Oh, now stay with me on this now. I agree, there's no other way to be saved except believing on Jesus. That's correct. There's no way to be saved. But if you're going to grow as a Christian, you need other people that know Jesus in your life. You need brothers and sisters in Christ. You need a church to attend and get involved in. Are you with me? You need that. That's not just an option. That's not just something nice to have if you choose to go for it. No, you need it if you're ever going to be what God wants you to be. We need each other. Amen? We were called to a body. We were called to belong. That's good. That's a good word. I belong. And I'm not just in need of you, but I belong here. You belong in the body of Christ. You belong in a church somewhere. You belong in fellowship with people that love the Lord. Amen? Now, there's one alone without companion or without a second. He has neither son nor brother. You might say friend, yet there is no end to all his labors. Goodness gracious, you still got to work. You still got to pay bills. Why are you doing it all? What's the point if it's just you? Oh, I hope you're getting behind something bigger than yourself. Amen. Yet there's no end to all of his labors, nor is the eye satisfied with riches. But he never asks, for whom do I toil and deprive myself of good? This also is vanity and grave misfortune. You know, I sleep good at night knowing I'm a part of something bigger than myself. I really do. I sleep good at night when I reflect on my life and know that I've given part of my life to the gospel, to the good news. when I realize that when I get to heaven, I'm going to meet people that are there because of me. Maybe I didn't witness to them directly, but you know what? I was a part of church. I helped that church be what it is, and I got behind that church not just with my prayers and my body and my finances and everything I could do. You know, I helped. And so whatever gets done or whatever benefit comes from this church, I'm a part of that. You're a part of that. And it gives me purpose. It's why I do what I do. It helps me get up in the morning. Helps me go to work, as it were. If you're on a job, you're not just working on that job to pay your bills. Are you kidding? You're working on that job so you have money to give to the gospel. Let him that stole steal no more, the Bible says, but let him work with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Well, I like that. Notice he didn't say, let him that stole steal no more, but let him work with his hands so he could pay his own bills. Well, that was understood. He's going to pay his own bills. But the bigger picture was, let him steal no more, but rather let him work with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Because there's purpose, see. There's our destiny, is to reach out to this world, to be a part of helping humanity. And not everybody's going to do the same amount. God doesn't look at it that way. Some people are very big givers. Some aren't able to give much. But all of us play a part here. Amen. All of us have a part. All of us are a piece to this puzzle. And as this is happening, as we're throwing in our resources and throwing in our prayers and our body and our time and working together shoulder to shoulder, you know what's happening? We're getting sharpened. Because iron sharpens iron, accountant's friend sharpens accountant's friend. And the sharper we get, the more useful we are. Amen? So I'm getting benefit out of it. It's just the law of sowing and reaping. Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. It's amazing how many friends friendly people have. It's amazing how many smiles smiley people get. I mean, I can smile, people just start smiling, you know. It's the law of reciprocation. I mean, it's whatever you sow, that shall a man also reap. So when God talks about helping others, reaching out to others, hooking up with others, he's looking out for your best interest. Not just theirs, but yours also. That's how you are fulfilled. There's nothing more fulfilling than helping others. We were made for each other. Amen? Hallelujah. Ninth verse. Two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. You know, one translation, I think it's the Living Bible, says this, that two actually can do more than twice as much as one. I like that. That's good. That's true. You know, that's true in work. I know that. You know, I've built houses and done carpet work for years and done plumbing and electric, just about anything on a house, I've done it. I eat a lot in the house, too. I love eating in the house. That's one of my favorite places, the kitchen, after the food's cooked. Just want to make that real plain. But I know in carpenter work, if I were to do something myself, there's a lot of things that you really, there's some things you just can't do by yourself in carpenter work. You got to have somebody to help you. You know, or there's some things you could do by yourself, but it takes more than twice as long. And just one helper, it doesn't just make your time go twice as fast. Sometimes it's almost 10 times as fast. I mean, just hold another end of a board. Seems like a little thing, but if you had to do it yourself and go set up a sawhorse over there every time you got the board, or climb up on the roof, you know, and put a board down and climb back down and get another board, climb back up, put another one up there, you're not talking half the time when you got another person helping you. It's sometimes 7, 8, 9, 10 times faster. I mean, I have deck floors by myself with plywood and climb down and throw 3 or 4 sheets up there and climb back up and lay those out and go back down. It just takes a long, it's more than twice as long than just stand up someone throwing. Now, life's that way too. Well, I'm just going to be a super spiritual giant all by myself because I'm so special. Well, no, I'm sorry. It's going to take, you know, you might finally get there, but if you live 200 or 300 years, most people don't live that long. But I know how you can get there real fast. Get in a church. Get hooked up in a church. Start reaching out to people. Start opening up to people. Amen? As you start doing that, you'll go down the spiritual road of maturity quicker than you will ever do or ever go by yourself. Now, this is tough on guys because we got a lot of pride. We don't like this. We don't like to hear this. You know, we like to do everything ourselves. It's kind of like the movies, you know. You know, one guy in a movie defeats thousands. You ever notice that? The hero in the movie, he never misses when he shoots. There's a whole army shooting at him, and every one of their bullets are missing, and he has a revolver with six bullets in it. The first shot kills 300 people. You ever notice that? You need to realize and think about this. That is a movie. Real life is not that way. Does not work that way. Chuck Norris jumps out there and beats everybody up. Kills the whole Vietnamese army by himself. Finds the general and makes him pay, kills him at the end, and lets all the captives free. Just by himself. I'm sorry, that's just a movie. It doesn't work that way. Makes for a good movie. It's exciting. We'd like to think that because we really don't want to go the hard route. Work with people. Can we just not work with people? I remember going to a pastor's conference one time at Lakewood. Brother Osteen was the pastor at that time, John Osteen. And he passed out cards. You know, we all filled out cards. It was a minister's conference. And he had a kind of a question and answer panel discussion. He was sitting up on the panel, you know, reading off the cards, you know. And one of the questions was, what's the number one problem in your church? And I just wrote people. And the number one asset, people. Hello. People are always a problem. People are always the answer. Can't get away from it. Most of your troubles, people. Let me tell you where your answers are. It's in people. Now, I know it's in Jesus. I understand that. But we've got to work with people. To the degree that you work with people, to that degree, you'll mature and you'll get further down the spiritual road of maturity. You need each other. Amen? I need you. I need people that are obnoxious. It helps me feel better about being obnoxious sometimes to other people. God puts us together to help each other grow. Are you with me? All right. You catch what I'm saying? He's just trying to help us. Trying to help us. He doesn't make people obnoxious, but maybe put them there so you could help them. He didn't make them that way. Okay, this message is going south. Ninth verse. Two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if, now here, oh, wait a minute, here we go. Here's some benefit now. If they fall, one will lift up his companion. Isn't that the truth? What happens when you're down? And you can write it down. I'm not prophesying doom, gloom, and destruction on you, but there's going to be a day you're going to be down. There's going to be a day you're going to need some help. You're going to need someone to pray with you and someone to lift you up. Hopefully you're up most of the time. I think that's wonderful. I try my best to stay up most of the time. I mean, but I'm not always successful at it. So what about those times when I am down? God still loves me. I know I'm in sin. I got to repent. I understand that. But I need somebody to help me. And if I don't have any friends or nobody I can call on, if I've separated myself from everybody, isolated myself down to the point where it's just me and Jesus, I really am in trouble. And Jesus, of course, will help me as much as he can, but you know, most of the time he's going to help me by sending somebody else. He's going to help me by somebody else counseling with me, helping me, praying with me, or whatever. That's why you can't have too many friends. That's why we need church. You are not going to be up 100% of the time. You're not going to be on top of your game 24/7. Hello. And I think when you're not, you're in sin. Stay with me. You're not a bad guy. No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying we all fall into doubt. We fall into worry. We fall into cares. We're not supposed to. But you know what? We're not super people. I thank God, you know, for Brenda. Keeps me on my toes. I do my best to keep her on her toes, too. She probably helps me keep me on my toes more than I keep her on her toes, but that's another story altogether. But we help each other. I thank God for you. There's a lot of times I can't be down because I've got to minister to you. Man, I've got to preach to you. Hello. But you know what? That keeps me straight. It keeps me straight in sin. I don't want to go off and go and sin, even if I thought I could get away with it, because you know what? One of you may see me. I know that may not be good motivation, but it motivates me in some cases. Keeps me holy. It should be enough that God's watching, but you know what? It's not always enough. Sometimes if we know somebody's looking at us, checking on us, it'll keep us straight. That's a good thing. If we know somebody's watching, we don't want them to be influenced. Maybe your children. Hello. I saw a little video clip the other day, and it was a little child that says, "Daddy, I'm watching you." And it was a good thing. He said, "I'm watching how you deal with people. I'm watching how you live your life." And at the end of it, he saw him sitting at the table with his Bible open, and he says, "Daddy, I'm watching you to see if you really believe." That's good, see? We need each other because it helps keep us straight. It makes us realize that not only do I need your help, but you know what? I am a role model too. I'm an example to you. There are times you're going to look to me for help. And so I want to live right. I want to live holy. I want to live for God. We need each other. We help each other. Amen? Okay, so y'all getting the message? It's not real complicated. Listen, I don't have a lot of points here. Just got one. We need each other. Amen? Two are better than one, ninth verse, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls. There's nobody more miserable than the guy that's got it all going. Hello. That is just so stable he doesn't need any friends, doesn't need church, doesn't need people. Let me tell you something, there's nobody more miserable than that. Because life's not that simple. It isn't. It makes for a good book. It makes for a good movie. But life is not that simple. Okay. 10th verse. Again, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? Man, I think of spiritually. Think about it this way. If two lie down fired up for God. Passion. A passion for Jesus, fired up for God, fired up for His Word, fired up for finding the will of God in their life. They will keep each other fired up. But how can one stay fired up all alone? Can't do it. You know what y'all do for me? Y'all keep me fired up. Y'all really do. I mean, you know, I think about, I've been pastoring 26 years. You'd think, come on, man, y'all be burnt out by then. Are you kidding? Burnt out? I'm just catching fire. I'm catching fire. Y'all keep me fired up, see? The more we get around each other, the more fired up we get. Phil Driscoll was here Sunday. He fired us up. You know, he came and he had a little flame there. Well, he had a big flame. Just don't say anything little about that at all. He came and he was just fired up with anointing, fired up with the passion of God, fired up with the gifts on his life. And you know what? His gift was not for him. It was for us. He was made for us. Come on. He fired me up. That's why God gifted him. It's for me. For us. And of course everywhere else he goes too. But you know what a sad world it would be if he didn't go anywhere. And he just got in a room and just worshiped himself with nobody there. How many thousands upon thousands of people would have missed out on that, would have missed out on that pull, that flame, that little spark that they needed to make it the next day or fire them up or get them stirred up or get them to repent or whatever the case may be. We were made for each other. Amen? So it says this, again, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? Now listen to this. Though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him. I thank God you're praying for me. I'll tell you right now, there's a lot of times I run into things that I can't handle. Now, I know I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, and I know God's bigger than all my situations. But beyond that, I know that others are praying for me, that it's not just up to me. I like to think sometimes when I'm feeling kind of down and when I'm not feeling like a big faith man, I know what the Word says, and I'm doing my best to quote it, and I'm saying it and everything. I'm saying the right things, but, you know, sometimes the feeling's not there. We don't go by feeling. I understand that. Are you with me? But you know you're just as empty and dead, just like a... Just, man, what your words are just hitting the ground. You're saying the right thing. Keep saying it. Don't stop saying it. You know it's true because it's the word, but you personally, you know what I'm saying. I know what helps me at times like that I'm not the only one believing for me. I'm not the only one believing for me. In fact, I'd like to say sometimes when you're down, listen, let me carry you. I'm praying for you too. Amen? Your faith's not the only thing working there. I'm working with you too. We're in this thing together. We're going to make it. We're going to get through this thing. You're not alone. See, you're not alone. You got somebody else with you that'll help you. Two can withstand this deal. Maybe you can't by yourself, but there's two of us. And in church, there's more than two of us. Amen? You need good friends that love God. You need good friends that can get a hold of God. You need a good church that believes in God, believes in His Word, that believes in His promises, that believes in you. You need it. You got to have it. You have got to have it. You'll never be what God wants you to be without it. This is what we were made for. Really. We were made for such a time as this. We were made for such a place as this. And we were made for such a people as this. We were made for each other. Man, that's good stuff. Amen? I'm just sharing my heart, sharing my thoughts. This is what's born inside of me the last few days. 11th verse again, if two lie down together, they will keep warm, but how can one be warm alone? 12th verse, though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. How much more all of us together? Are you kidding? You can't lose with the stuff we use. You just can't. I mean, you may be having a bad day, but you are not alone. You're not in this thing by yourself. Not just Jesus in you, but Jesus in me and Jesus in each one of us, all of us praying together. In fact, the Bible says, hey, sick man, let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he's committed any sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. What's he saying there? Get a hold of somebody. You're not by yourself. You're not alone. This is the church of God we're talking about. Hook up with somebody. If any two agree is touching anything of my Father, they ask of my Father in heaven, it shall be done, Jesus said. Two people. See, two of us. More than one. There's two. And of course, in James 5:14, he's talking about the elders. There's several people. Get the church praying. And we got a prayer chain here. It's an effective, powerful thing. People start praying. But just know this, you hadn't been alone one day in your life since you got saved. Jesus came in your heart, and he said, I'd never leave you nor forsake you. Now, if you obeyed him and got involved with people, brothers, sisters, Christians, got in church somewhere, it's even more people than just Jesus. It's all of us together. And all of our prayers together are making you what you are. And you praying for all of us, it's making us what we are. And if you ever, you know, it's a wonderful day when you find your place in life. I'm always amazed that people live their whole lives and they find out, you know, I can do this. 30s, 40s, 50s. In fact, I was listening to, I caught Joyce Meyer just in passing today. She said something like, she was 32 before she realized she was called to the ministry. And she was in her 40s. Before she really started the ministry that she has now, the way she has it going now. She'd been a waitress, she'd been all kinds, she listed all kinds of things that she'd done. But I thought, what a wonderful thing to find out what you were made for. You know what I mean? I mean, that's in an individual sense. There are people that learn they can play a trumpet later on in life. I'm hoping I'll find that out, but anyway. Will they ever be like Phil Driscoll? I don't think that's going to happen. But, you know, people find out they can draw or artist, or they find out in a profession they change jobs, get laid off, and find out they're better at this than they were at anything they ever done. I remember I lived in Enterprise, Alabama one time. My dad was in the Army, so I moved around a lot. I was born in Texas and came back when my dad retired and spent my life here in Texas, and I'm a Texan. Okay. But he was stationed in Alabama for a while. We lived in some little towns around Fort Rooker, Ozark, Delville. Enterprise, Alabama has a statue to the boll weevil right in the middle of the town. It does. I mean, in fact, this is an encyclopedia. You can look it up in Encyclopedia Britannica. And the reason they had that statue to the boll weevil is because the boll weevil ate up all their cotton. He was just looking for a home. You know, the old boll weevil. Anyway, that's an old song, and most of y'all lost that. But anyway, okay. But they had to change crops because they could not control the boll weevil. It literally ate up all the cotton. So they started raising peanuts. And they made more money off peanuts than they ever made off cotton. And they put up a statue to the boll weevil in honor of the boll weevil. No, this is a true story. You ought to read it. You can read up Enterprise, Alabama. It's an amazing story. But the point was, they found out that really that ground was made for something better than the cotton. That ground was made for something better than that. We give up too quick, see? But by getting around people and others, we'll find out sometimes we're made for something better. And I can tell you in a general sense about all of us, we were made for each other. It's a wonderful thing to find out what you're made for. I thank God. I thank God that I accepted Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, over 30 years ago. I thank God that I recognize the call of God on my life to teach the Word. I thank God I recognize the call of God on my life to pastor a church. I found what I was made for. This is my destiny. And I can tell you this, maybe you're not called a pastor. Most of us aren't. Maybe you're not called to teach. Most of us aren't. That's fine. We're all called to something. But one thing for sure, we're all called to each other. So don't leave us out of this thing. Don't leave us out of your life. Because you're called to us. Amen? Everybody's called to each other.